We want a 5-minute warning when your time is up, Andy.
Sure.
Your time is up.
I'm going to time myself to 19 minutes, but a warning at 5 would be a helpful thing.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Andy, and I am a chaos creator, an adrenaline addict, a people pleaser, probably almost was a drug addict and an alcoholic, but by the luck of my genetics, I guess, because both of my brothers went through the same thing and came out not addicted. So here I am with these lifelong challenges, but I think it's far better for me to think of them as opportunities and actually doors opening to a much better life. And this 12-step program and the people I've met before the pandemic, and also I think this whole program has expanded exponentially since the pandemic. I really feel that this fellowship is a really important part of my life. I do not consider myself to be very well schooled in the steps and in the book. I read the book once many years ago, and then I did the BBA. Well, I was in CODA for a while, and then let's just say some tumultuous and life-changing things occurred in my life, which led me to the BBA in a serious way, and was the bottoming out that I needed to actually start working. But when I was looking at this, the theme for today, more about alcoholism, mental obsession, pages 37 to 43, I thought, wow, I haven't read that for a long time. And I was wondering, how do people in this group choose topics? I guess it's just looking through the book and through the program and finding things that are interesting to a flow that's been developed over time. Doesn't matter. Anyway, I haven't looked at it for a long time, and the benefit of for me of reading this and getting back to this place is just starting to open up for me right now. As I said before, I am gratefully not an addict, but am very, very clearly the reality that I'm a lifelong codependent adrenaline addict, people pleaser is ever present in my life. And so the reminders of reading the story of the jaywalker were really, really good, especially with the BBA way of putting my own personal wording into certain things. And you know, I did some preparing, but at the end, I always feel that these shares are better, more spontaneously entered into. I was mentioning something at the before the meeting started about I have a fear of doing something wrong, of being wrong, and this is one of my base fears in my life. And I was realizing a couple of days ago that everything that could possibly go wrong in my life, well, that I have imagined to this point, let's say, already has. And I'm 59 years old, and I'm doing fine. And so what that simple statement leads me to believe is that, first of all, God is taking care of me for sure. I am definitely being taken care of, and always have been. But that also, why am I afraid? If everything that could possibly go, well, I never got arrested, but I should have been. But if everything that could go wrong basically did, people very close to me dying, my daughter born with a congenital issue that left her on the life or death for 5 days. Now she's perfectly healthy and totally, totally fine. But things like that, whoa, super heavy. And then you live through it and you learn and you are somewhere else. And I'm realizing that you know, it's all about this fear of losing love and being wrong. And it's, that's the nature of my illness, that one of the things I'm going to talk about when I get into the book a little bit more is the insidiousness of this people-pleasing codependency, which leads, or which supports the adrenaline addiction. And when I look at the issue and follow it down, I realize, well, for example, one of the things I have done so many times is say yes to too many things, overschedule myself insanely, and then be totally freaked out with stress for essentially no good reason at all. And that when I look at it in terms of how my adrenaline addiction sustained itself, then it's crystal clear. One thing I'm very aware of in my illness is that when I get foggy and I start to get slightly forgetful, that means I'm touching something really deep and really central. And right now I'm kind of grasping at the thread that I'm trying to draw here. So I may fall off for a minute because I'm definitely touching something that's that needs to be touched again and examined again. But yeah, what would happen if I didn't say yes to all these things? And so I realized, I wrote a little thing down. It's like, if I say no, they won't love me. And the sad part of that is most of these people are people that have, let's say, a little bit of background. I'm a professional musician and a university professor. And so I get a lot of requests for things that are either very reasonable or very unreasonable. And so to sort through those things and to say yes or no, for me, was really hard. And so I just said yes to everything. And the thing is that the people who were important, my wife and my daughter, were the people that I didn't pay attention to because I was busy worrying about losing the love of these people that I didn't care about, let's say in the same deep, deep way. And the result is I got divorced. And my daughter and I had a 2-year separation that we're just now healing. I'm going to fly to Aberdeen in 2 weeks and spend 3 days visiting her. And so the irony of this, I don't know what the sad tragedy of my illness is, that by worrying about what other people were thinking of me, I was disregarding those people I most cared about. I just noticed that this light behind me is over my head in a very odd way. I'll try not to. It's like I have a, I don't know what. Let's not even talk about anything there. But I guess looking at more about alcoholism, starting on page 37, the discussion is beginning with the idea of insanity and a definition of insanity that probably isn't clinical, but is in some ways, for me, absolutely the most important definition, because I am not clinically insane. I am addiction insane. And the insanely trivial excuse for taking the first drink, and I wrote in here the first hit of adrenaline, and did my best thinking fail to hold me in check? Why did my insane idea win out? And looking at this again, I have to remember that one of the aspects of my recovery I'm most grateful for is that I'm now able to notice signals or feelings in my body that before would lead me completely into an insane reaction. And I can see them now, or sense them, or be aware of them, and stop doing something and actually think about what's going on and try to determine whether this is a trigger of an old wound or whether this is something real that I actually should pay attention to. And there's two incidents, and forgive me for maybe repeating myself for those of you who were heard me share it last week in my home meeting, but two incidents that occurred just recently that created quite a shot of adrenaline. One was when my wife and I split up, I moved out, and she just recently passed away, and so I moved back in. Excuse me, and I never told the landlord that I had left, and so I called them up because I had to get their signature to allow me to move back in, and so I had this childlike reaction, feeling like, well, what if they say no, and what if, you know, what if I have to pay a huge fine, and I was sitting there on a bench on the street with my girlfriend, and I was telling her about it, going, this is something that's from my illness, and it's not real. And she said, yeah, what are they going to say? And then I called him, and everything was just like, no problem at all. And I realized, whoa, wow. And then the day that she left, I live, 10 minutes walk and then two stops on the U-Bahn to the train station. And we had tons of time. And somehow I was getting stressed. And the stress was doing this butterflies in my stomach thing. And it was just, you know, there's another train an hour later. And I was just thinking, why am I worried about her catching the train when there's no problem? It's not like, I mean, I have missed trains. I have missed airplanes. I have done all kinds of chasing after a train with a saxophone and a suitcase and, you know, getting to my gig just in time to play. So I know what it's like, but it wasn't like that. It was her going home. And again, it was another just a recognition that my illness, exactly like the guy who walks into the cafe and orders a sandwich and milk, and you know, he says, oh yeah, what will a little bit of whiskey hurt? And this with too many pages, I can't find exactly what I'm looking for, but the moment when we're least expecting something to happen is when we are vulnerable to, I shouldn't say we, the moment when I am disarmed is when I am most vulnerable to being triggered. And those are the moments now, thankfully, because of, I'm crediting my recovery from working this program faithfully, that I can see this situation and decide what's going on and, or let's say make a determination about what might be going on. So when I read this book, as I imagine other people experience, I see myself in it in sometimes very clear ways and sometimes a little bit more distant. But I wanted to read my version of the Jaywalker. And where is it? It begins on the bottom of page 37. So he gets, so I'm going to say substitute using for jaywalking. So our behavior is as absurd and incomprehensible with respect to the first drink as that of an individual with a passion, say, for chaos creating. He gets a thrill out of overscheduling. My writing is terrible. Overscheduling worthwhile sounding plans. He enjoys himself for a few years in spite of friendly warnings. Up to this point, you would label him as a foolish chap having queer ideas of fun, or a guy who is afraid of losing love and says yes to everybody. Luck then deserts him, and he is extremely overwhelmed several times in succession. You would expect him, if he were normal, to cut it out. Presently, he overbooks again, and this time becomes ill and frantic. Within a week, leaving the hospital, he takes on too many projects. He tells you he has decided to stop using adrenaline for good, but in a few weeks, he's back in a panic made up of deadlines. On through the years, this conduct continues, accompanied by his continual promises to be careful or to slow down and limit obligations and spend time with his wife. Finally, he can no longer work. His wife gets a divorce and he's held up to ridicule. Sorry, but that's kind of too true to be not laughed at. Those of you who live in Austria will get this part. He tries every known means to get the adrenaline-using idea out of his head. He shuts himself up in a Berghütte, hoping to mend his ways. That's at the top of the Alps. There are these houses that are like sort of like a hotel, but it's a rustic house on the top of the mountain in the woods, and you can go up there and escape the world. And I tried that, and I did the same thing, you know. But the day he comes out, he races in front of a computer, opens his email, which sends him to too much to do without any time to live or love. Such a man would be crazy, wouldn't he? Well, yes, such a man I was, and such a man I can be too easily. I love that unsubscribe function at the bottom of all the political email I get. I've just been unsubscribing to a lot because I don't really want to read about the Republicans right now, especially because I'm living in Austria. But it's another thing, being a news junkie. Of course, everybody was reading, well, I shouldn't say that, everybody I know was every day looking at their phones because of Trump. Oh, excuse me. A lot of different reasons for a lot of time. And then when Trump got out, somehow there was this big hole in our lives. And I know this was written about in news organizations of the fact that they were losing money now that Trump was gone. But I'm just trying to see all the places in my life where these issues that generate or trigger my reactions can be seen. And recognizing that for me, not being a chemically, not addicted to chemicals outside of my body, healthy boundaries and the awareness of my triggers, my old wounds that can be manipulated by my ego to serve whatever purpose, unrelated or not, that I have to be aware. And so overscheduling, saying yes to everything, getting caught in emails and not setting time limits, and then freaking out because I have too much to do, and then lying awake at 3 in the morning and then wake up the next day going, why was I lying awake? I can't even remember what I was worried about. And so these are just aspects of my mental obsession, and willpower and self-knowledge would not help in those strange mental blank spots. So I've accepted that I'm going to be a lifelong adrenaline addict, people pleaser, chaos creator, but that with God guiding me and that the recovery that gives me that's actually my sponsor telling me that he's on military time and can't come to this meeting because he screwed up the timing. So sorry, I didn't turn off my phone. But yeah, these strange mental blank spots, I lost my thread there. That's why we should turn off our phones. So I have how many minutes more? Five?
I got 2.5 more minutes.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. I have lists of all the stuff I'm supposed to do. So moving back into this family apartment, but now I live alone here. My daughter is in college, and I'm confronted with things that I want to change to make this apartment feel like my apartment and not the apartment my wife used to live in. And so I'm writing lists of things to do and trying to figure out It's overwhelming sometimes, like I should change it all. And then, oh, there's this project that I'm doing with the university that has to do with Vladimir Putin's personal friendship with the president of Austria, and that we're sending musicians from my university to St. Petersburg to play a concert, and my students have to arrange the music, and the deadline is October 15th, and I haven't done anything yet, and oh, the first day of classes. And so these things, for me, that's like the drinks, the addictive elements that put me over the edge, and I lose my composure, I lose my my serenity, and then I don't feel good. And when I slow down and when I recognize do that thing that I think I have to do, nothing's really going to happen. And that's one of the weirdest things about this this addiction for me, is that things that I believe to be essential, and then I twist myself up and ignore the people that I love, and ignore myself, and lose myself, that those things are not essential to my life. Sorry, I just, as I said before, when I get close to something, I lose the thread. And so my long sentences are leaving me lost at the end of them sometimes. So I am really grateful that Amy asked me to share today, and that it was on this particular topic, because I hadn't read that for a long time, and I hadn't read the BBA words and the wording that I found to substitute in the jaywalking example. I hadn't looked at that for so long, and it's so so much a clear mirror of who I am, that I'm really, really grateful to have been guided to read that and to put my attention on this. And a sentence jumps out: absolutely unable to stop on the basis of self-knowledge. And so, yeah, I'm not going to drink myself to death, and I'm grateful. I am so grateful for that. I am not going to die of email stress or over saying yes too much. But the thing is, I'm not going to have a great feeling in my life, and I'm not going to be able to dedicate myself to things that actually matter, like relationships with family, and giving myself time to be a composer instead of just saying I'm a composer. I remember once telling a student he was a fantasy composer, but that's kind of what I've become sometimes, because I let so many of these other things that are essentially meaningless take on such stature in my life. And I am repeating the same thing right now in a few different ways, but I'm telling myself this because I'm convincing myself, not convincing, I am, God is guiding me to repeat these phrases over and over so that I, excuse me, so I put the amount of attention necessary on these concepts to really let them sink in. So healthy boundaries. I like this wording. It's page 41 at the bottom. Not only had I been off guard, I had made no fight whatsoever. And that's the trap. And that's where self-will fails, because we will all always have moments like that, is my experience. Or, sorry, just I statements. I will always have moments like that. And when I read this, I went to my hotel and leisurely dressed for dinner. As I crossed the threshold of the dining room, the thought came to mind that it would be nice to have a couple of cocktails with dinner. I can do that, and I've done that because I'm a traveling musician. That scenario is familiar to me, but I can stop at two. And so I am grateful
Time.
inexpressibly time, okay, inexpressibly grateful that I don't have to worry about not being able to stop drinking. But the thrust of my share today is that that mechanism, that illness, exists for me in my way and has derailed my life. And I even say I'm grateful for the fall that I had because it brought me to where I am right now, and that's with you guys talking about this. So thanks for the invitation, and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Andy. We're grateful that you came, and wonderful share, and really focusing in on that that mental obsession and having no fight whatsoever. It was a great way to end it. Thank you. So it is now time for sharing, and we split it up into two parts, remembering that we only record our speakers, so that will remind me actually to turn off the recording.